This morning, first, I got two notes, and one was about that dealing with people who trigger strong negative emotion and how to manage that. So the thing with this is that if it's someone, even if it's a family member, but you don't meet the person often, it's different than if it's somebody you see every day. So the person did not sign, but if they could give me their name, then I can we can have a private conversation about it. Because when there is a person which kind of is triggering or is difficult, then you really have to look at different conditions. The person's condition, your condition, how you can work it out. So it's kind of, it's more like a case-by-case thing. Because I could say, you know, creatively engage with it, but I think it depends what the conditions are. Then there was a question about goals and dream and expectation. And so basically how to aspire without expectation. How to have goals in life without grasping in the idea of them. And so what I was trying to say is that it's a fine line. It's a fine line between expectation and aspiration. And so I'm not saying you should not have expectation, because you're going to have expectation. I mean, it's just natural. I think it's kind of like...
I would like to... What is aspiration in Finnish?
I have a commitment. You're not supposed to read here, but I went to the library and found a dictionary, because I had the same thing. Aspiration is like... pyrkiä. Pyrkimys.
Yeah, yes, there is a dictionary, please use it. Don't hesitate. So, in a way, like, often this is what happens with meditation. You sit in meditation, and you try to be with the breath or with the sound, but there is a tiny, tiny expectation that at some point something special is going to happen. So you kind of wait for something special to happen. And of course you don't wait all the time, you don't expect it all the time. But time to time, I think it's just natural, it's just kind of a human functioning. But to see what I was trying to point out is that expectation has a tendency to tense us, to make us tense, and also the tendency to frustrate us. Because if, and what I was pointing more is, if you expect something very definite, I want to be peaceful like this, I want to have this like that, then the more definite you make it, it is less likely that you go into experiencing, because it's very defined. And often condition don't allow for something which is really fixed and solid. Sometimes you can. You have certain expectations and they turn to be true. But often not. Because it's kind of a little bit abstract, a little bit too defined, too fixed. And so aspiration is, of course, as human beings, we aspire. We have goals, we have intention, we have motivation. And I think this is a very strong force, strong power within us, which is wonderful to engage with. And so aspiration is open-ended. It is saying, I am aspiring to that. I am looking toward that. And then generally it will give you energy to go towards it. But it's open-ended in saying, for example, for myself, my aspiration is to develop wisdom and compassion, but I'm not this definite wisdom, this definite compassion, or I must be wise all the time, or I must be compassionate all the time. But I aspire toward it, so I'm going to put energy towards that, and I'm going to try to cultivate it but knowing that I can develop wisdom in many different ways, compassion in many different ways. So I think, yes, to have goals, to have dreams, but then there is a thing, is it relatively reasonable? You see, when I was young, I lived with musicians, and they were all very talented musicians, and so I thought, you know, I must learn an instrument. So I tried the flute, I tried the guitar, then I finally tried Indian singing, and then I finally thought, you know, I should be able to do this. And this is tampura. It's a kind of a instrument with three chords which accompany Indian singing. So you just have to do tung, 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 tung. I could not even do tung, tung, tung. So I thought, you know, maybe I give this up because obviously I don't have the talent for this. And maybe I should put my energy somewhere else. So I think there is also, are the expectation reasonable or not? Because you could expect all kind of thing and they might be kind of, you know, a little out of the possibility. But so it's kind of also, of course, to aspire, to look towards something, to want to develop one's potential. And so I think when we have this, what I'm saying is that we're going to move between expectation and aspiration. Because sometime you will notice, ooh, I really want it. And then it gets a little tense, and then you get a little frustrated. And then you open up. Then you move toward more aspiration. I'm going toward that way, and it's more relaxed. And I think it depends on the conditions. Sometimes you are more in the aspiration mode, sometimes more in the expectation. And then we learn from life. We learn if it's reasonable or not, if I can achieve it or not. And also it is true that if it's really open-ended, then you can encounter people, encounter things, and things happen you had not thought about. To me, that's what also, within aspiration, you have this open-endedness. And so you could, I never ever thought I would become a writer. I mean, I've written 8 books. I would have never thought I would become a writer. And I did. And that was kind of being open to circumstances. So I think it's also looking at that. But today, actually what I wanted to look at is a different type of meditation. So yesterday and the day before we did more what is called mindfulness, awareness meditation, the breath, the body, the listening. And if you find this method useful, you can continue with that. But then there is another type of meditation which you find in the Theravada inside Vipassana tradition, which is a method of actually cultivating, evoking certain qualities. And so they call the 4 special qualities. And so generally you have loving kindness, compassion, rejoicing, altruistic joy, and equanimity. And so the way this meditation works is a little different. So it's for each of the quality, you generally have 3 or 4 phrases. So for example, one of the common phrases for loving kindness is, may I be happy, may I be at peace, may I be safe. And then, so you have these 3 phrases, and then it's kind of like you repeat the phrases, and then you move from yourself to people in the room, taking each person in turn, to everything that is alive outside, to the category of people you like, who support you, the category of people you're a little neutral toward, and then the category of people you have some difficulty with, but not great difficulty. And then generally you finish with, may all beings be happy, be at peace, be safe. So the way it's working is very different. So here, the anchoring is in the fact that we return to the phrases again and again. And the inquiry is that when we say the phrases, we are looking at ourselves and at others differently. And what I would say is that we generally, we try to see beyond what we might like or dislike about the person or ourselves and reach out to the human being who is alive, who is breathing. And so that's kind of the way these practices are done. And so today what I like to suggest is to do what is called mudita, M-U-D-I-T-A, and it's generally translated as appreciative joy or altruistic joy. And altruistic joy means to rejoice in the happiness of others. And so for this quality you have different phrases. And personally I'm not using the regular phrases because over time I have found that maybe there could be a modern, interesting way of doing them. So what I've done is that I've taken three verbs, and then I've taken three objects, and then three pronouns, and then we're going to play with them. So I'm going to say the phrases anyway, but then it's going to be, it's on the board in English, and then Yua is going to write in Finnish something close to it. And I would encourage the people who are Finnish to do it in Finnish. So the phrases I would recommend are appreciating my efforts, rejoicing in my understanding, being grateful for my existence. And then we're going to play a little, because we're kind of looking at identity, with seeing, is it a difference? Is there a difference if I say appreciating my efforts, or if I say appreciating this effort? I don't know if you can do that in Finnish for you to see, but you see the difference, my and this. Because sometimes I think it can be fun to play a little bit with, when we say me, mine, then generally we feel a little more kind of like this belong, there is a little kind of more grasping. And sometimes I think what can be fun is, instead of saying I, me, mine, you can say, for example, this flow of condition. Like, we have the meditation room, and now more or less everybody has their place. And if somebody was to come and sit on your cushion, you might think, this is my cushion. This is my place. And then it's interesting to say, could you say this flow of condition is using this cushion? And does it make the thing a little looser? So with the sentences, you could say, how does it feel if you say appreciating my efforts or appreciating this effort? At the same time, personally, I think to say appreciating my efforts is fine, because it's your effort, it's not someone else's effort. And I think there is no problem using I, me, mine. The Buddha used that all the time. But just to see, in terms of kind of like the feeling tone of it, we can also play with that. And then, of course, when we move to others, rejoicing in your, appreciating your efforts. And why did I suggest this sentence? It's because we have a strange relationship with effort. Because often we try, but we mix together effort and effect. So if we try to do something and it doesn't work, we generally say, I did not try hard enough. But I would not say that. I would say, you try the best you can. And sometimes you try and you don't get the effect, but it doesn't mean you did not put in the effort. And that's why I think it's very important often You kind of sometimes think about the past and you think, oh, if only I had done this, if only I had done that, and I did not try hard enough. And personally, I would generally say, at that time, you tried the best you could considering the situation. Now, of course, you would do doing something different, but now is very different than then. And so I think it's very important to really appreciate the fact that we put in the effort, that all of us are trying the best we can within the condition, and to really be aware of that. So in a way, we're more focused on the effort than always being more focused on the effect of that effort. And then also, personally, I think it's a compassionate move to appreciate people's effort. Because often, we do the same with people. They try to do something, and it doesn't work, and you think, well, they did not try hard enough. Or another thing we can say, well, I can do it, why can't they? This is interesting. It's kind of assuming everybody has the same ability. I mean, I personally can cook in my sleep. I'm a very good cook. I can cook really easily. I have no trouble, no recipe. I'm very good at cooking. But I don't assume everybody can cook easily. My husband did not used to be such a good cook. And he used to have to cook once a week, many years ago, when we lived in a community. And so once a week we knew we would get the same thing, every time. Rice, steamed veggies. And then he would make a sauce. And so kind of every time the sauce changed a little bit. And it took him, you know, 2 hours to do all this. And then one day he decided to do something different. So he decided to do millet balls. And it took him 3 hours, and it was like kind of... And I know I could have done in, an hour less. But I let him do it, helped him a little bit. But I thought it was fantastic that he tried to do something different. Because he put all his effort. I really thought, this is great, to try to do something, to put in effort. And so I think we have to... To me, this is so important, to appreciate other people's effort. That actually what we think is easy for us might be so difficult for them. And there is this person I follow on Twitter, and she's somebody who has bipolar illness. And she became well known on Twitter because she wrote the 10 thing not to say to somebody who is depressed. And the first one was, you are not trying hard enough. Because actually, if someone is depressed, they have no energy. And so to do a tiny thing for them is such an amount of energy. So to me, it's really this phrase, appreciating my effort. Appreciating this effort, appreciating your effort, it's really important. And I think it can really help us within relationship to ourselves, relationship to others. Then the next phrase is rejoicing in my, this, your understanding. But then you can also add, you can play, here you can play with three words. You can say, rejoicing in understanding, rejoicing in happiness, or this one, the last one is a little, can be triggering for some people, so that I'll mention it, because I think it's fun. And it's rejoicing in your success. This is very interesting, this one, you know. If somebody is very successful, then generally we're not so happy with them being successful, because we think success or happiness, there is only, let's say, we have often this idea, happiness or success, there is only so much. So if that person has this quarter then I'm not going to get it. When I think, you know, you can have lots of different kind of success, lots of different kind of happiness. But it's interesting. Somebody come to you with a good news. Oh, look, this has happened to me. This is fantastic. And what do? You say, but what about this? Have you thought about this? And then, pooh, you kind of deflate it. Once I did this to a friend, she came with this wonderful piece of news. And I said, what about this? What about that? And then she said to me, why are you doing this? And I thought, why am I doing this? It's true, she is happy. Why can't I rejoice in her happiness now? I don't know what will happen in a year or 2 years, but right now, this is a good news. So I think in a way to kind of look at that relationship we have with other people's success, other people's happiness. Because if you're happy with somebody who is happy, I mean, if you rejoice in their happiness, you're happy too. It's kind of, you know, double the thing. Or rejoicing in our understanding. I think, especially on the spiritual path, I think often we can have this idea that, oh, there is a great teacher or there is a great master and they know everything, and me, I don't know anything. But it's very important to see each of us as wisdom. And so each of us as insight, as understanding, and to recognize that, oh yeah, I understand this. I have some insight into this of my own. So rejoicing in your own understanding, rejoicing in other people's understanding. And then the last one, so again you have two possibilities, being grateful for my, this, your existence, or being grateful for our potential. So some people prefer potential, especially with a difficult category. Sometimes people find it hard to be grateful for people's existence. So I say, well, at least you can be grateful for their potential to change. So here, to me, this is a very important quality to cultivate. Being grateful, to really be grateful for the potential, our existence, all the good things in our life, in other people's life. Because we have again, not always, but sometimes a tendency to notice what is missing. I had a friend, she did a retreat for a month. She did a personal retreat of this practice. Of rejoicing, of appreciating. And she said at the beginning of the retreat, she was very focused on what was missing, what other people had and she did not have. And so she felt like, you know, something was missing. And then at the end of the month, she kind of felt so rich with so many different things. So I think it can be quite sometimes a transformative practice. So in terms of doing this practice, I would say you have three different ways you could do them. Because although this is beautiful quality to cultivate, some people are not keen on reciting the sentences. They just kind of reciting sentences doesn't work for them. So it doesn't mean that you're not kind or joyful or whatever. It just means repeating phrases doesn't work for you. I mean, my husband really don't like to repeat phrases, but it doesn't mean he's not kind. So I think to see that each practice is going to suit some people and not others. That's why now I have thought about three different ways to use these, cultivating those qualities. So the first method is to repeat the phrases, because at that level, it's a very good anchoring device. Appreciating my efforts, rejoicing in my understanding, appreciating my effort, rejoicing in my understanding, being grateful for my existence. Just to repeat the sentences will be very anchoring. So if you're comfortable with reciting the phrases, please do that. If not, then what you can work is more at the level of resonance. So you can just say the phrases once, appreciating this effort, or appreciating your efforts, and just how does it feel when I appreciate something? How does it feel when I rejoice? How does it feel when I'm grateful? So in a way, resonating with that quality. So it doesn't mean you have to be 100% grateful, appreciative, rejoicing, but how does it feel, that quality? So in a way, connecting to the quality. Or you can be more in the experience and more like, right now, what is it in my experience I can appreciate? What is it I can rejoice in? What is it I can be grateful for? So in a way to see which way might be better for you. Either to repeat the sentences, either to bring these phrases and to see the resonance with the quality, or in the experience, what is it I can appreciate, for example. Then you can do that when you're doing the sitting, but you also, when you do the walking meditation, so I know it's raining, so I don't know if you have umbrellas or well covered, so again, you can sit indoors or outdoors. And again, when you do the walking meditation, you can continue with the phrases, or continue with the resonance, or continue with the experience. And then, so when we're walking, just in a way knowing, appreciating, I can see, I can hear, I can walk. Not in an analytical way, but more in an experiential way. Really experiencing, I am able to walk. Really experiencing, I am able to see, to hear, etc. Then in terms of doing the various categories, so for example, when you walk, you can start with yourself, and then whoever you encounter, a person, different living things, again, appreciating your efforts, being grateful for your existence. So you can just also do it when you walk. So when you see it, it's a little for you to see. You can, for example, spend a whole 30 minutes on just yourself. Or if you prefer, you can, you know, be a few minutes with yourself, and then you expand to people in the room. So you don't look at them, but you bring them to mind. The one you can remember, you either bring the name, if you know them, or their face, and then appreciating your effort. And so you, in a way, kind of orienting toward that person, and then orienting toward the other. And then you do a few people in the room, and then you can move to everything that is alive outside, the trees, the cat, the people. And then you can move to the category of people you like. But again, it's very important to, you bring the name or the face of the person, but try, you're not looking at what you like about them, but you know you feel comfortable with them, and then still you look beyond what you like, and you try to reach out to the human being, who is alive, who is breathing like yourself. And then you move to the next category of neutral, which is like the postman, the person in the supermarket, some neighbor, and actually to see that often we have a slight indifference, and to go beyond that, to see that these people have also a history, they also suffer, they also breathe like us, and then again, appreciating their effort. And then you have the last category of people you have some difficulty with. So I would really encourage you to not immediately go for somebody you really have big difficulty with, because then it's very hard not to get entangled in the story. So I would say somebody you have a little bit of difficulty with, and again looking beyond what is difficult and reaching out to the human being like ourselves, who is breathing, who is suffering, and appreciating their effort. So that's what I would suggest today. This is relatively clear, and then we can talk in the discussion.